Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman. I'm Rabbi Avram Goldar, and today we're in Sechus Yavamas, Daf Lamed Hey, the end of the third parak, Arba Achin, and the beginning of the fourth parak, Hocholetz Liyibimto. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis taught that kalos who inadvertently had relations with the wrong husbands at the time of their chuppah must wait 3 months before returning to their husbands. So if they become pregnant, it can be determined who the father is. The Gemara brought a related ruling from Shmuel, and on this top brings an alternative version. Shmuel said, "Kulan srichos lahamtin shlosha chadashim, chutz migiyores u'mishtukhareres gadola." All of them, referring to a woman who had relations and then want to remarry, they need to wait 3 months except for a woman who converted as an adult and a slave woman who was freed as an adult. When the Gemara suggests that the Rabban should be gozer for these women to wait as well, since it's common for them to have illicit relations, it answers that Shmuel is going according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a giyores, a shvuya, a captive woman, and a shivcha do not need to wait 3 months. After Rabba's explanation, Rabbi Yossi is challenged. Abai explains that the reason they do not have to wait is ish mezana mishapecha shlo tisaber. A woman who engages in znus inverts herself after having relations so she does not become pregnant. Rashi explains that since this is an easy method of birth control, it's used by all women who have illicit relations because they do not want to become pregnant. Pointing to the Mishnah, state of imayu kohanos nipsul mina truma. If the kohanos were daughters of kohanim, they are pasul from the eating of truma. When the Gemara challenges this, since daughters of Yisraeli married to Kohanim would also be possible from eating Truma, it amends the Mishnah to read, Imayu Neshe Kohanim, if they were wives of Kohanim. The Gemara challenges this as well and says that the same din should apply to wives of Yisraeli based on what Rav Amram said. The following was taught to us by Rav Sheshes, and he enlightened our eyes with a proof from a Mishnah. Eshes Yisrael Shen Ansa, Afo Pishu Mutez Labala, Psuo Kahuna, the wife of Yisrael, who was violated, even though she's permitted to her husband, she is forbidden to the kohuna, referring to marrying a kohen if her husband dies. Rava answers the mission should be read as daughters of kohanim, and is teaching, imayu kohanos nusus Yisrael nipsu mina truma debe nashayu. If they were daughters of a kohanim who are married to Yisraelim, they are possible from eating truma from their kohanic homes. Rashi explains that even though a bas kohen, who was violated while married to Yisrael, is not prohibited to her husband, if he were to die, she would not be able to return home and eat truma. And point number three, the Gemara brings Malchokas and Marayim in the beginning of the fourth parak regarding Hacholetz Gemu Be'eres Vehipila, one who does chalitza with a pregnant woman and then she miscarries. Rabbi Yochanan says she does not need chalitza from the brothers since the chalitza is now seen to be valid, whereas Reish Lakish says she does require chalitza again from one of the brothers since the first chalitza was not valid. The Gemara teaches that Malchokas can be explained based on psukim and on svara. In terms of Svara, Rabbi Yochanan holds that if Eliyahu would come and say that this woman will miscarry, is she not fit for Yibum and Chalitza now while she's pregnant? Therefore, Hashtanami Tigla Milsalam Afreya, now to the matters revealed in retrospect that she was fit for Yibum and Chalitza. But Reish Lakish holds that we do not say the matters revealed Lam Afreya in retrospect. The Gemara will bring proofs and challenges to each of their positions. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Mishnah on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis taught that kalos who inadvertently had relations with the wrong husbands at the time of their chuppah must wait 3 months before returning to their husbands, so if they become pregnant, it can be determined who the father is. The Gemara brought a related ruling from Shmuel, and on this top brings an alternative version. Shmuel said, "Kulan srichos lahamtin shlosha chadashim, chutz migiyores u'mishtukhareres gadola." All of them, referring to a woman who had relations and then want to remarry, they need to wait 3 months except for a woman who converted as an adult and a slave woman who was freed as an adult. When the Gemara suggests that the Rabban should be gozer for these women to wait as well, since it's common for them to have illicit relations, it answers that Shmuel is going according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a giyores, a shvuya, a captive woman, and a shivcha do not need to wait 3 months. After Rabba's explanation, Rabbi Yossi is challenged. Abai explains that the reason they do not have to wait is ish mezana mishapecha shlo tisaber. A woman who engages in znus inverts herself after having relations so she does not become pregnant. Rashi explains that since this is an easy method of birth control, it's used by all women who have illicit relations because they do not want to become pregnant. Pointing to the Mishnah, state of imayu kohanos nipsul mina truma. If the kohanos were daughters of kohanim, they are pasul from the eating of truma. When the Gemara challenges this, since daughters of Yisraeli married to kohanim would also be pasul from eating truma, it amends the Mishnah to read imayu neshe kohanim if they were wives of kohanim. The Gemara challenges this as well and says that the same din should apply to wives of Yisrael based on what Rav Amram said. The following was taught to us by Rav Sheshes, and he enlightened our eyes with a proof from a Mishnah. Eshes Yisrael Shen Ansa, Afo Pishu Mutez Labala, Psuo Kahuna, the wife of Yisrael, who was violated, even though she's permitted to her husband, she is forbidden to the kahuna, referring to marrying a kohen if her husband dies. Rava answered the Mishnah should be read as daughters of Kohanim, and is teaching, Imayu Kohanus Nusus Yisrael Nipsu Min Truma De Bein Hashayu. If they were daughters of a Kohanim who are married to Yisraelim, they are puzzled from eating Truma from their Kohanic homes. Rashi explains that even though a Bas Kohen, who was violated while married to Yisrael, is not prohibited to her husband, if he were to die, she would not be able to return home and eat Truma. And point number three, the Gemara brings Malchokas Amorim in the beginning of the fourth parak regarding HaKholetz K'mu Be'eres V'Hipiua, one who does chalitza with a pregnant woman, and then she miscarries. Rabbi Yochanan says she does not need chalitza from the brothers, since the chalitza is now seen to be valid, whereas Reish Lakish says she does require chalitza again from one of the brothers, since the first chalitza was not valid. The Gemara teaches that Malchokas can be explained based on psukim and on svara. In terms of svara, Rabbi Yochanan holds that if Eliyahu would come and say that this woman will miscarry, is she not fit for yibum and chalitza now while she's pregnant? Therefore, hashtanami tigla milsul mafreya. Now, too, the matter is revealed, in retrospect, that she was fit for Yibum and Chalitza. But Reish Lakish holds that we do not say the matter is revealed, Gemafreya, in retrospect. The Gemara will bring proofs and challenges to each of their positions. All right, so now we go to Simber Daf Lamed Hey, and our standard Simmon is a children's choir singing la, la, la. So here goes. The children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door, where two daughters of Kohanim got switched to their chuppas and became puzzled to eat truma, while a guest who was pregnant and had done chalitza was rushed out and tragically miscarried. Once again, in slow motion. The children's choir, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Hey, la, la, la. The children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion, which reminds us all women who had relations and then want to remarry need to wait 3 months, except for a woman who converted as an adult and a shipch who was freed as an adult. When the Gemara suggests the Rabban should be gozer for these women to wait as well, since it's common for them to have illicit relations, it answers that Shmuel is going according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a Gioris, a Shvuya, a captive woman, and a shipch do not need to wait 3 months. Abai explains the reason they do not have to wait is that a woman who engages in znus inverts herself after having relations so that she does not become pregnant. So, the children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door, where two daughters of Kohanim got switched to their chuppas and became puzzled to eat truma. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had said, Imhayu Kohanos nipsul mina truma. If the calls were daughters of Kohanim, they are puzzled from the eating of truma. Rava said that the Mishnah is teaching that if they were daughters of Kohanim who were married to Yisraelim, they are puzzled from eating truma from their Kohanic homes. Rashi explains that even though a Bas Kohen who was violated while married to Yisrael is not prohibited to her husband, if he were to die, she would not be able to return home and eat truma. So the children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door, where two daughters of Kohanim got switched at their chuppas and became puzzled to eat truma, while a guest who was pregnant and had done chalitza was rushed out and tragically miscarried. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings a Malchokas Amorim in the beginning of the fourth parak regarding HaKholetz K'mu Be'eres V'Hipiua, one who does chalitza with a pregnant woman, and then she miscarries. Rabbi Yochanan says she does not need chalitza from the brothers, since the chalitza is now seen to be valid, whereas Reish Lakish says she does require chalitza again from one of the brothers, since the first chalitza was not valid. The Gemara teaches that Malchokas can be explained based on Psukim and on Svara. So once again, the children's choir joyfully singing at the Gioris' Chasna the day after her conversion were thankfully not present in the hall next door, where two daughters of Kohanim got switched to their chuppas and became puzzled to eat truma, while a guest who was pregnant and had done a chalitza was rushed out and tragically miscarried. All right, now it's time for four Blabat Chazara. Daf Lamed Aleph. So the Sim Daf Lamed Aleph is the law, and we use a judge as the Simon. So here goes. The chalitza judge. Judge? That must mean we're Daf Lamed Aleph, the law. The chalitza judge was having a rough day when he gave up trying to determine who died first in the collapsed building, a husband or his wife, who was his niece. Which reminds us, Abai challenged Rabbi, who said that we do not prohibit a woman who has a chazaka to marry anyone on the basis of a suffix, from the case of a mapolis, where a house collapsed on a man and his niece, whom he was married to, and it's not known which of them died first, her tzara does chalitza and may not be taken in yibum. So we see from this Mishnah that even though the tzara has a chazaka to marry anyone, she's prohibited to do so without chalitza, due to a suffix. The Gemara gives two answers, the first one being that in the case of divorce, which is a common occurrence, the rabbis decreed that she does not do chalitza since it might lead to yibum. In the case of the mapolis, the collapsed house, which is not a common occurrence, the rabbis did not decree to not do chalitza out of concern it will lead to yibum. So the chalitza judge was having a rough day when he gave up trying to determine who died first in the collapsed building, a husband or his wife, who was his niece, and then had to listen to two sets of witnesses arguing over where a thrown get had landed. Which which reminds us, the Gemara attempts to explain the difference between our Mishnah with the case of throwing the Kedushin, which results in a Suffolk, and the case from a Mishnah in Gittin, which deals with throwing a Get, which results in a Suffolk, by explaining that in Gittin, we're dealing with two sets of witnesses, where one set said it was closer to her, and the other set says it was closer to him. In such a case, it's a Suffolk deraisa. Rashi explains that since there are two witnesses who say it was closer to her, we cannot use the principle of chazaka to resolve the suffix for her tzara and release her from chalitza. Our mission is dealing with one set of witnesses where one says it fell closer to her and the other said it fell closer to him, and therefore it is a suffix derabanan. The Gemara will successfully refute this answer. So the chalitza judge, who was having a rough day when he gave up trying to determine who died first in the collapsed building, a husband or his wife, who was his niece, and then had to listen to two sets of witnesses arguing over where a thrown get had landed, while a woman complained in the background about the stress of having two zikas. Which reminds us, it's Melchokas Hanakam Rabbi Shimon, what a woman does if she has two zikas on her, which resulted from one brother doing mimer with her before passing away, and her falling to Yibum to her third brother. The Tanakhama holds that the Pasuk teaches that she cannot do Yibum, since Yibum is only permitted when there is one Zika on her, not two. Rabbi Shimon does not hold that there can be two Zikas. He has a suffix whether Mimer works completely to make the first widow the first Yavam's full wife, or it does not work at all, in which case the Yavama fell to the Yavam from her first husband. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Beis is a mad scientist in a lab. So here goes. The mad scientist, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Beis. Mad scientist in a lab. The mad scientist's strange Isser Chal Isser radar device pointed at a man's brother's wife, who was his wife's sister, which reminds us it was taught in a brisa Ba'alela. If the Yavam had relations with the Yavama while his own wife, who was her sister, was still alive, Rabbi Yossi holds that he's chai for violating the Isser of a brother's wife and a wife's sister. Rabbi Shimon says, Eino chayv ela mishum eshazach bovad. He's only chayv for violating the Isser of a brother's wife. Rashi explains that Rabbi Shimon holds, Ein Isser chal al Isser. One Isser does not take effect upon another Isser. So the mad scientist's strange Isser chal al Isser radar device pointed at a man's brother's wife, who was his wife's sister, detected an Isser Mosif signal, which reminds us, the Gemara asks whether Rabbi Yossi really holds of Isser chal al Isser, for it was taught in a brisa. If one did an aver, that results in two different methods of execution. The Tanakhama holds, Nidam b'chamura, he's subject to the more severe one. Rabbi Yossi says, Nidam b'zika rishona b'ali love. He's subject to the execution that comes from him from the first attachment. This seems to prove that Rabbi Yossi does not hold of Isser Chal al Isser. Rabbi Yavo said Rabbi Yossi does hold that Ein Isser Chal al Isser, except in the case of an Isser Mosif, when the second Isser is more extensive than the first. For example, when a man marries, his wife's sister becomes prohibited to him, but not his brother's. When one of his brothers marries a sister, then the sister now becomes prohibited to all the brothers. Therefore, Rabbi Yossi holds he's chayav for both if he has relations with her. The Gemara will refute this explanation. So the mad scientist's strange Isser Chal al Isser radar device pointed at a man's brother's wife, who was his wife's sister, detected an Isser Mosif signal coming from a tzar doing a vote in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings three disputes between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kappara. It was stated, Tzar Sheshimash B'Shabbos, if a non-Kohen served in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, Rabbi Chiya says he's chayav twice, once for serving the Beis HaMikdash, and one for being Mechal Shabbos, whereas Bar Kappara says he is only chayav once, as a non-Kohen serving. Each one took an oath and claimed they heard their opinions from Rebbe. Two more similar disputes are brought, and on the next daf, the Gemara will discuss whether Melchokasim are based on. Daf Lamed Gimel, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg-leg pirate. So here goes. The peg-leg pirate, that must be more on daf Lamed Gimel. The peg-leg pirate who was caught doing two prohibitions at once as he served in the temple on Shabbos, which reminds us, the Gemara goes to an extensive analysis of what the Malchokas between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kappara is based on, and concludes they're disagreeing b'Isser Babas Achas v'Alibah the Rabbi Shimon in regard to simultaneous prohibitions, which are prohibitions that come into being for a person at the same time, and according to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rashi explains that according to Rabbi Chiya, even Rabbi Shimon, who rejects the principle of Isser Kolel and Isser Mosif, would agree that the prohibitions that occur at the same time take effect, since neither in his position to block the other from taking effect. According to Bar Kappara, Rabbi Shimon also rejects the principle of Be'isr B'bas Achas, simultaneous prohibitions taking effect. So, the peg-leg pirate who was caught doing two prohibitions at once, as he served in the temple on Shabbos, and was told he was going to be buried among the complete Rishayim, even though he just did an Isser Ba'alma, which reminds us, the Gemara asks in reference to the case of Azar Shishimish B'Shabbos, what avoda did the Azar do on Shabbos? Rav Acha Bar Yaakov said, B'shchit is parashal Kohen Gadol, shechting the Kohen Gadol's bull on Yom Kippur, according to the one who holds that a Tzar may not do it. When the Gemara notes that even an ordinary Kohen is not permitted to do so, it answers that a Tzar in this context refers to someone who is not a Kohen in regard to this avoda. Rav Ashi objected to this answer, since a chatas was not mentioned in Rav Yossi's ruling, and neither were any negative mitzvahs. Rather, Issur ba'alma kachashiv, it refers to general prohibitions, even if they do not result in a chatas or malchus. The nafka mina is regard to lekavru bein rishayim gemurim, to burying him among complete rishayim. According to Rabbi Yossi, he's buried among complete Rishayim in a cemetery for those who were stoned or burned. So, the peg-leg pirate was caught doing two prohibitions at once, as he served in the temple on Shabbos, and was told he was going to be buried among the complete Rishayim, even though he just did, and Isser Ba'alma, ran and was Mekadosh a woman whom he accidentally exchanged with another at the time of Rosh Chuppah. Which reminds us, so the Gemara clarifies that when the next Mishnah brings a case of two men who were Mekadosh two women, and says that at the time of the Chuppah, they exchanged wives, which implies b'mezid, that the Mishnah should be amended to read, Huchlifu, they were exchanged, b'shogeg. Daf Lamedal, so the Simmer Daf Lamedal is a ladder. So here goes. The tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder, that must mean we're in Daf Lamedal. The tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder, eating chalav that was noosed that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, which reminds us. The Gemara here asks, who's the tanu who holds that two prohibitions take effect upon a single item, whether it's through an Isser Kola, an Isser Mosiv, and an Isser Basachas? And Rav Yudah said in the name of Rav that it's Rabbi Meir, for it was taught in the Mishnah, Yesh Ocha Achila Achas V'chai V'leo Arba Chataos V'Asham Echad. There's one who does one act of eating and is chai for four chatas offerings and one asham. The case is a tummy person who ate chalav that was noosed from consecrated offerings on Yom Kippur. Rav Meir says that if it was Shabbos and he carried it out in his mouth before swallowing, he would be chai of a fifth offering. So we see from here the Rav Meir holds of all three types of prohibitions, including an Isser Basachas. So the tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder eating chalav that was noosed that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, watched a bris down below where a father was rushing, had the wrong baby circumcised, which reminds us. The Gemara asks, who does Rabbi Meir rule in accordance with, given that he holds that the two men who accidentally switch wives should bring chatas offerings, and answers that he holds like Rabbi Yezza that holds a Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah Chayiv. Alternatively, it could be that he rules even in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua, who stated his position that a Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah Pater, in the case of circumcising babies on Shabbos, this is Manu Bohu, where a person's time is rushed, since there's a mitzvah to circumcise the baby on the eighth day. If he erred in that situation and circumcised the wrong baby that was not meant to be circumcised on Shabbos, he's pater. But here in the case of marrying the woman, his time is not rushed, since there's no specific day that he must marry the woman. So the tummy man who was hiding up high on a ladder eating chalav that was noosed that he carried in his mouth on Shabbos, watched a bris down below where a father was rushing, had the wrong baby circumcised, to the horror of its mother who had gotten remarried 10 years after her first husband's death. Which reminds us, when Ravin came, he said in the name of Yochanan, any woman who waited after the death of her husband 10 years and then remarries can no longer bear children. Rav Nachman said, they did not teach this rule except when she did not plan on remarrying, but if she did plan on doing so, she can still become pregnant. The Gemara brings the case of Rav Chisda's daughter who bore children to Rav 10 years after the death of her first husband, Rami Bar Chama. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldin Zichron, a great day and great learning.